Getting out of the military can feel like you're stepping into a room where nobody speaks your language. The structure that you once had is gone. The jokes that you used to tell just don't land right. And the people around you have no clue what you actually went through. This episode today is going to be a conversation with a Marine who found a new mission through stand-up comedy. The guest today, Michael D'Angelo, talks about the Marine Corps humor that kept people steady the first time he tried an open mic night that almost made him bolt, and the moment he decided to build his own lane instead of waiting for permission from those already established in the comedy field. He sent 400 letters to Marine units, started booking shows, and it turned into the Rapid Fire Comedy Tour, which brings comedians to troops and first responders for a real morale boost. You'll also hear about how the tour, you know, operates as a 501c3, why sponsors matter, and why they finally are getting out there in front of other troops and the support that they are giving to them and why that actually matters. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to take a moment to raise awareness for something that's deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians impacted by the global war on terrorism. This memorial will be both a tribute to those who served and a way to ensure that their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you'd like to learn more or find out how you can support their mission, visit gwantmemorialfoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, before we kind of jump into the episode and the content here that we're going to be talking about, can you maybe just start by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself and a little bit about who you are, just for anyone who might not be familiar with you, I should say.
Sure. Yeah, so my name is Michael D'Angelo. I'm a Marine. I'm a comedian. It's kind of the two big labels that I'm wearing. I live in Los Angeles, but I'm from Las Vegas. I joined the Marine Corps when I was about 17 years old and kind of trying to escape Las Vegas. And I served about 5 years in the Marine Corps. And when I got out, you know, I was dealing with the same thing everybody deals with. You know, I was hurting and not knowing what I was going to do next. And I kind of found my way into stand-up comedy. And, you know, fast forward about 5 years after that, I moved to Los Angeles to try and grow as a comedian. And when I first got to Los Angeles, I was not getting welcomed. So I started my own comedy tour where I go out and I perform for the military. And that's kind of like my bread and butter now. I produce comedy shows for military and first responder communities, anywhere they'll have me, any climb, any place.
That's awesome. And I like the kind of resilience there is there too, because, you know, you kind of feel like you're walking up against a closed door, people aren't having you on, or, you know, not inviting you in, or whatever the case may be. And you're kind of just like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to make this happen one way or the other. And here you are, you're doing it. And not only are you doing it, but you're also supporting the troops in a way too, because, you know, it's a good morale boost when you get to have those types of things come around. And you know, whether it's a concert, whether it's a, you know, a comedy show or anything like that, those types of things are pretty great for morale for the troops too. So it's kind of like a win-win all around for everybody, you know, yourself and the folks that you perform for and that your tour goes around to. That's pretty awesome. So kind of back it up maybe just a bit here. You mentioned kind of wanting to get out of Vegas and joining the Marine Corps. You know, how did the Marine Corps itself kind of shape your career and what your future prospects were, you know, as far as the comedy goes? Was that always something that you were doing, or was that something that you kind of fell into afterwards?
Yeah. So when I joined, there was never like, oh, I'm going to be a comedian one day, you know. I joined and it was just like an escape from the culture that I was living in Las Vegas. And in the Marine Corps, I found like this brotherhood and this community, this camaraderie that I just had never found before, that I was looking for out in the streets of Las Vegas, you know, trying to, you know, find other neighborhood kids and build my own little brotherhood. But when I joined the Marine Corps, I found it, and it was so strong and it was so validating to be around a bunch of other guys that shared, you know, not just a similar work environment, but we were also, you know, a lot of guys come from interesting or, you know, challenging walks of life. And the sense of humor that is nurtured is a wild one. You know, people cope in different ways, and Marines cope with strange thoughts. And my sense of humor that I kind of got from my dad growing up in Las Vegas and hanging out in bars with him and just being a little roughneck kid, really got a lot of validation from these guys that are also thinking about the same things I'm thinking about. And I just, you know, found weird ways to string them together and get some laughs here and there. And being in the Marine Corps around that definitely helped me when I first started stand-up, because I got out of the Marine Corps and my back was messed up, and I've always been such like a laborious person. I've always been so consumed with work and just working a lot and hard. And when I got out, I couldn't do that anymore because body was falling apart on me. And I had this moment where I was like, well, shoot, what do I do now? What am I supposed to be doing? I can't work long hours. I can't be laborious anymore. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to get into like white collar stuff and maybe get into sales or something. I have to figure out how to talk to people that aren't Marines, you know? And I realized I didn't know how to do that. So I was like, I've been a writer for a long time. So as a kid, I write down, you know, things that I think are funny or just weird stories. I was like, I should take one of these notebooks and go to a comedy open mic, because I like stand-up comedy, but I never done it. And I was like, I should go, you know, just get over these nerves, you know, of like, okay, how do I talk in a sales room? How do I just like be in front of people and try and, you know, be calm, but also, you know, try to entertain people and not just be like, here's this information, you know, be loose enough to be able to be yourself.
Sure.
And I went to this first open mic, and it was scary. It's crazy. I talk about this all the time, and that like, I've been in some rough situations in my life, and I've never been so scared that I almost pissed myself. And I was so, my adrenaline dump was so hard that I basically started pissing myself a little bit while I was on stage. I'm waiting to go up, and they're like, all right, there's two more comics than you. And I'm like, all right, I gotta go piss. I'll go pee. And I come back. I'm like, all right, one more comic than you. And I'm like, man, I gotta piss again. And I go pee and come back. They'd be like, all right, you're next. I'm like, I feel like I gotta piss again. And then I go up on stage and I can feel, I didn't like flat out piss my pants, but I'm like on stage, I could feel myself pissing a little bit. I'm like, yo, like this is crazy. And you know, I get off stage and I don't have like this amazing set where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so good, I'm going to be a comic. But I had fun. It was, you know, it was free. It was legal. I didn't hurt anybody. No one got hurt. I was like, I'm going to be doing this now. And you know, as you know, my sales career progressed, I started to, you know, hate doing sales. One day I was, you know, I was doing door-to-door sales actually in NorCal, and they talked me to do it solar up there. When I got up there, they were like, oh yeah, you have to go knock on the doors to make all the money we told you could make. And one day I'm just like living in the front seat of my car trying to hustle out there. And I was like, man, I should just do something that I like to do. And I came back to Las Vegas and I started just doing stand-up as much as I could. I was like, I really want to swing my bat at this. I think if I take all this discipline and energy and sacrifice that I know how to do and put it into something I actually enjoy, I think maybe that would be a good move or a right decision, you know?
Yeah, right.
And through all that, you know, in the past, I mean, since I moved to LA, it's been like 9 years. It's been hard. It's a hard industry to do, you know, let alone just like getting on stage performing for people, but it's also like navigating Los Angeles and you know, that the culture that's out here and the rules and the politics and the clubs and the bookers and the managers and other comedians. It's been very hard. It's been a challenge. It's been a journey. I've learned a lot, and I've gotten so much better as a comedian. And I've been learning the business. But there's a lot of times that I've looked back and I've like looked for strength and like, all right, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Like, should I be doing this? And a lot of my buddies in the Marine Corps are the ones that told me like, yo, dude, you should become a comic one day. Like, you're funny, dude. Like, if you don't try that, like, you're kind of wasting your life. And when I first moved to LA, those words really stuck out to me, because I got to LA and I was such a roughneck that, you know, I was not welcomed out here. to say it kindly. And I just wasn't getting the development that I was hoping for. People were, I wasn't getting on shows. I wasn't getting as much opportunity as I thought I could get, that I wanted, that I would like to have to help me grow. And I was like, who am I supposed to be performing for? Like, what do I do? I'm in SoCal. I came out here to grow. I'm not getting the movement I want to get. What do I do? And I remember all my Marine buddies who were like, yo, dude, you should do comedy. And that's what it hit me. I was like, all right. So I reached out to like the USO Tour, the GI, the comedy, Armed Forces Entertainment, all these places being like, yo, can I do comedy with you guys for the military? And they all kind of got back to the same story. The USO didn't get back to me at all. They're such a big organization, you know, but they all get back the same story. Like, oh, you know, well, we'll keep you updated if we need you. Well, thanks for reaching out, you know, but they all have their good old boys club already, which is fine. It makes sense. I have my good old boys club now. You know, I got the guys that I bring every time I go. So that's what I did. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to do this myself. And I sent 400 letters out to Marine Corps units all over the country, most of them Southern California. But I was like, hey, I'm a Marine. I'm a comedian. I will come out and perform for you guys anytime, any place for free. And I started getting shows, and that's kind of like, it all kind of really moved because I was nurtured by, you know, my brothers in the Marine Corps that really validated my humor, things like that, you know. And
sure,
now it's this much bigger thing.
Well, yeah, and anytime you start something new that, you know, you weren't previously exposed to in one way or another, because, you know, you're changing careers or whatnot, you know, things that you were talking about, like not even being aware of some of the politics or the, you know, having to deal with the managers or the, you know, other comedians and all that kind of stuff. You know, being a comedian is one thing, having to write all the jokes and then being able to deliver the joke and the, you know, all the things that go into the art, if you will, of being a comedian is hard enough as it is. But then you have to deal with the administrative crap too, that it's that probably wasn't even on the radar at first. And then you're like, oh man, this is a crazy world I'm walking myself into here. You know, what am I getting into? But when you are as dedicated as you are to making this work and make this happen, you're reaching out to all these Marine units and saying like, yeah, I'm coming out and I'll perform for you guys. And quite frankly, that's probably your audience anyways, you know, given that that sense of humor was maybe developed in the Marine Corps, they're going to be the ones who get it. Not some, you know, college kid from, you know, San Diego or something like that, like who maybe isn't going to have the same kind of sense of humor, the same dark humor or, you know, whatever. I'm not entirely sure the exact direction, but I'd imagine it's something that's probably going to align a little bit more with, you know, someone who's a Marine or a soldier or any other branch, if you will, than, you know, a freshman in college or something. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very eye-opening because I had only really experienced Las Vegas, you know, and that's like this ballroom wild scene. I cut my teeth there, and then coming to LA, I came to LA because I was visiting. I would come out here and there to take some classes. I was trying to like grow as a writer and things like that. And I was doing some shows here and there, and I would sit at the Comedy Store in their original room late night at like midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. and watch these guys that are like big stars now. Watch them, you know, 9 years ago, work in this room that is like, you know, it's 1 a.m. These guys have been, the crowd has like heard every premise. They're drunk. They're tired. Some of them are foreign. Like people aren't paying attention. It's a lot to compete with. Yeah. And these comics up here working, I was watching them and I'm like, oh man, if I want to get better, I have to move out here. I want to like work in these rooms like this. And even though it is very hard in LA, I have gotten better out here. Like, the culture is different. It's softer in a way, but there's so many good people out here. There's so much competition that it like puts that fire under you to work harder, to develop and write and challenge yourself and try new things. And it hasn't changed my style of writing. I still very much talk about the same things, but I'm much better at expressing the ideas on stage in front of a crowd versus just, here's this crazy thing, you know, I understand my own timing, my own delivery, my own voice and how it comes off to people. I'm much more aware of the craft itself and all these other things. And LA really did do that for me, but it's incredible when I get in front of a crowd that it's that they love me, you know. I don't have to work for their day, for the laughter, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's work up there, and I still love that too. But man, when you can get up in front of a crowd that knows exactly what you're talking about,
right?
Spoiled.
Yeah, no, it's great to be able to do that too, because it takes maybe a little bit of the pressure off too, that you're not getting up in front of a, you know, group of people who you're like, I don't know that these people are going to get any of this stuff. And that would probably, I know for me anyways, that would be in the back of my mind of like, this is probably just not going to work. You know, this isn't going to be a great show. But I want to kind of circle around to something else that you kind of briefly mentioned, but I guess a group of people that you bring along with you to do these comedy tours, and it's called the Rapid Fire Comedy Tour, right? That you guys have. And you know, what kind of feedback are you getting from folks when you go to these different places and perform for them?
Oh, it's interesting. The feedback is always, I guess now it's not surprising. It makes sense. But you know, when I started doing these shows, it was very much in the beginning, it was like, yeah, I just want stage time. And then it was like, oh, I want to do it for these crowds because it's fun. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, once all the craziness of like, oh my God, this is happening, is so much fun, and I could like actually pay attention to what was going on, it became very clear to me that like we have like this crazy effect on these young Marines, you know, these units when we go to perform for them, because the feedback is incredible. These guys come up to us after shows and they're like, yeah, man, we're like, we thought this was gonna suck. We thought this was weird. We thought, you know, because it's a lot of times it's mandatory fun, you know. They're like, all right,
sure,
you know, this time, you know, be out here. Someone's coming by to like give some entertainment, you know. And guys are like, oh great, what's this gonna be? But guys come up and they're like, man, this was awesome. A lot of times it's their first experience with stand-up comedy. You know, these guys are like, yo, I've never even been into a comedy club. I don't even care or think about stand-up comedy. And this is amazing. Like, now I want to go watch stand-up, you know? So it's like introducing these guys to this art form. Mm-hmm. And then it's also because of the group that I bring out. Like, I bring the ideal format. The reason it's rapid fire is because I bring out a lot of comics. It's like a showcase show. It's not an opener and a middle and a headliner that does like 45 minutes or an hour. You know, it's supposed to be fast paced, like 10 minute sets, just bam, 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 bam. We just had a show. What's today? 2 days ago, we had a show and I brought 9 comics with me and it was a blast. You know, I rent this van, I load them up in the van and they're all hanging out, comics that don't get to connect with, you know, each other. It's a very independent sport, you know, and when you throw them all in a van together, they get to like converse and bond and stuff. So like, these comics are also getting like something that I didn't expect I was creating or had the power to do, which is like bringing artists together and getting them to kind of mind meld and bond and create new relationships with each mm-hmm. other, you know? It's a good time on the ride up and usually the ride back, you know, if it's a good show, which it usually always is. But that's another thing that I realized with this show, and it took me a while to like really see it, but because the demographic, you know, these kids are like 17 to 25, 17 to 24, 23 years old. So it's like, not only have they never been to a comedy club before, or they don't watch stand-up comedy, but they have not been exposed, because they're just young. They haven't been exposed to, you know, a gay artist talking for 10 minutes about his lifestyle, you know, or a black comic talking for 10 minutes about things that someone watched, they go, holy shit, like I actually deal with that. Like, right. What? I never would have thought that this dude has to deal with that. You know what I mean? Or I've found myself in this situation, like I'm really exposing them to different points of view that they may not have ever been exposed to. And I'm doing it through this art form where I bring these artists and they get to, you know, share their talent and their story and their skills with these guys. And then these guys get to leave with not only having a good time and having fun and shit, but also walking away, like looking at the world a little bit differently, looking at people a little bit differently and having a, you know, whether it's compassion or understanding or maybe a want to connect with people in a different way, it changes them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good point too, because especially for the younger guys and gals who are, you know, in the military, and I mean, you don't have very many life experiences up until that point. And, you know, a lot of them might come from real rural areas, and there might just not be a comedy club around. And so when were they ever going to go to see comedy? You know, that they'd have to go travel a long way to be able to get into that. And so this at least, you know, gives them that opportunity to experience it. And, you know, whether that's something that they want to do themselves as a comedian, maybe they're funny too, and they feel like that could be something that they do in the future. And that kind of opens their eyes to, you know, a potential, you know, opportunity in the future after the military. Or if it's just something that they like to do to, you know, unwind and relax at the end of the week or something like that, go out to the comedy club and go listen to some new comics or whoever. I gotta imagine that could be beneficial for not just morale. I know we talked about that before too, but even mental health stuff too, because that kind of like at the end of a long week, you maybe had a rough week or something like that, if you can go out and start laughing, I mean, laughter, they say, is the best medicine. So, you know, why not, you know, expose folks to that? And I got to imagine that plays a pretty big role in someone's maybe overall health, you know, mental health included, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, it's another thing that I sort of realized, like, this is like a mental health boost oftentimes, you know, whether it is just like a long ass week in the field. You know, sometimes we pull up at a mount town, you know, these guys are literally sleeping in the field that night. They're waiting for transpo because the exercise just ended. And we're just the kind of like, all right, boys, like, you did it. Now sit down, enjoy yourselves, and we get to be that entertainment for them. And sure enough, after the shows, you know, guys have come up and they'd be like, man, we needed this, dog. It was a rough week, bro. We're pissed at the gunny. We hate the battalion command. You know, like, we're mad at everybody, but this turned things around. This kind of proved to us that they do care about us, and they want us to have some fun. And I've even had, like, you know, leadership come up to me and point out things like, yo, man, like, those Marines right there, those two guys have been at each other's throats all week. And we haven't seen them laughing, having a good time like this. And we don't know how long. And you guys did that, man. Like, you guys are really boosting morale out here. You're building this camaraderie, and we appreciate you coming all the way out here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, to all of these points here that we're talking about, as far as like boost morale and mental health and things, I mean, it's kind of a low barrier to entry as far as, you know, being able to go out and go to a comedy club and, you know, go watch some comedians who are doing their thing and making people laugh. You know, if you're having one of those weeks, whether you're in the military or not, if you've, you know, already gotten out, you're a veteran or whatever, and you want to experience some laughter, maybe you've had, like I said, a rough week, a rough month, a rough year, whatever, and you're like, I need something funny, it's something unexpected, something different, not just watching the same old movies that you maybe have watched before, you know, someone new. I mean, go out and experience something new like that. Go see a new comedian that maybe you never heard of before or whatever, and you know, enjoy the art form for what it is. The comedian puts a lot of time and effort into it, and they get a lot of probably benefit from seeing people like that get out there and laugh their ass off too, right?
Yeah, it's goes both ways. The comics really get a lot out of it. You know, it's their first time performing for the military. I like to bring a mixed group, and a lot of times I always bring someone new on, and they come away from it, you know, one, like, just never having even connected with the military or something like that, but also realizing the impact that they've just made on these guys as well, you know. So it's that side, and it's the Marines coming away from it just feeling like, oh shit, man, like, what a night. Like, we didn't see, they say this a lot, they're just like, man, we did not see this coming. We did not know this was gonna be cool.
Yeah, and I think anyone who's listening to this who's served more than, you know, a few months in the military has probably experienced some sort of mandatory fun type thing. And a lot of times they're not all that fun. And when you have something and it's a change of pace where it actually is fun, it's enjoyable, you laugh your ass off, and it's really good. It's kind of like, well, yeah, exactly like you said before, those guys in leadership, they must actually give a damn about about us that they went out of their way to arrange this for us and give us this opportunity to have this good time and everything. So it's again, there's just win-wins going on all over the place here with all of this, because you know, anyone who's experiencing it is going to have a good time, you know, unless they're just that much of a person that doesn't like to laugh and have a good time or whatever. But I mean, most people are going to enjoy comedy to some extent. And so, you know, it's kind of a cool thing that you get to boost that morale and stuff like that. So now this started off, I'm assuming this started off, it was just you going around to different places, and now it's kind of grown to incorporate a bunch of other comedians in the tour. Where do you see this going down the line? Are you going to be kind of adding more folks to the lineup, or, you know, how is that all going to work out down the line for you?
You know, when I think about where it's going and what I'd like to have happen, sometimes it's two different lines. You know, where it's going is, you know, I'm starting to see more people, especially from this podcast run that I'm doing, is trying to spread the word. I see more military and first responder groups reaching out for shows. So it's just expanding into, like, I still consider it like military, you know, a lot of first responder groups, if they're not in that lifestyle already, you know, whether it's firefighters, you know, working in the firehouse, working these crazy shifts and that brotherhood, or mm-hmm. or police that are also in the brotherhood. And it's a lot of guys that get out of the military go into those professions anyways. So where it's expanding into those groups as well. Where I want it to go, where I really like it to go, is the best shows that we do, they really are out in the field. You know, the ones that are just incredible and they're special, and they're punk rock, is when, you know, I still mail letters out, and it's when like some company first sergeant or, you know, company commander gets, you know, one of the letters, and they hit us up and they're like, hey, we're going to be at this range on Pendleton on this day at this time. You want to come down at the end of our exercise that night and set up out in the dirt? And it's like, I would just love to do those shows. I mean, I'd do that shit 7 nights a week if I could, on Pendleton or 29 Palms or wherever.
Sure.
That's really it. That's all I want. You know, I mean, it's such a hard thing, this industry, because it's like, on one hand, like, it's so much fun and it's so fulfilling to have these shows. They're incredible. These crowds are so good. And it's fun for me as a, you know, a person that likes to, I'm very organized. I like to like put things together and figure it out, problem solve, to show up out in the dirt in the middle of the night, set everything up and put on this show and have it be kick ass, and then break it down and leave, and then be in the van with my buddies. Like, oh my God, that was crazy. So much fun. But it's also like, you know, now I'm at this place in my career and the time of my life where, and this podcast run is part of the inspiration of all this, is that I have to figure out a way to make money to continue to do this long term. Because mm-hmm. right now in LA, you know, I do comedy, but I'm not a full-time comic. You know, I got 3 other jobs. I'm still using my VA benefits to go to school, so they'll help pay my bills, you know? Like, I'm very much out here hustling to make it all work. And it's hard to make that a part of the conversation with these units, you know, because it's hard to get funding together. It's hard to get them to, you know, when you do that kind of stuff, it takes longer. You're like, yeah, okay, it costs money. All right, well, we got to send it up to this person. They got to prove it. Then they're going to be like, who are you? What do you do? What are you talking about? Where are you from? What have you done in the past? Who are you? And it just becomes like a longer conversation. And a lot of times it doesn't happen. It just doesn't go through. So it's just easier to keep them free. But to combat that, a part of this podcast run is also spreading the word that we are a nonprofit. We're 501c3, you know, we're like the Catholic Church, but with dick jokes. And, you know, people can donate to this tour. That show we did on the 11th, that TV sponsored it for us. And it was great because it's one of the first shows that I was able, you know, there's done a bunch of these, you know, and most of them are free and the comics volunteer their time. But a couple of days ago, I got to put checks in these comics' hands. You know, I got to make sure everybody got paid for their effort. And that's kind of what I want to be able to do, is to find sponsors and find donors so that, you know, I can keep doing this and I can pay my bills and I can help these other starving artists eat as well. So it's like finding donors and sponsors is the direction I want to go in. But also I want to find more shows too, even if they are free and they don't have a budget, you know, and from podcast run, I have had more people hit me up, and I always start the conversation with like, look, man, I'll work with any size budget. Like, if you guys can't put money together, especially if you're in California, if you can't get any money together, but you got a group of guys that need some fucking, some camaraderie boosting, I'll come out. I'll come out solo if I have to with my, you know, just by myself, may go down. But it's like, man, you guys throw some money together, I could put on a hell of a show for you. You know what I mean? And, you know, it goes a long way. Well, even when like we all volunteer our time, our only expense is a rental van and some gas. You know, vans are a little more expensive nowadays than they were 4 or 5, you know, 7 years ago when I started this tour. But it's like, man, $500 will put gas in the van, rent the van, and then I could, you know, take these comics out for some in and out after the show. You know what I mean? Like, you go, it's not that expensive to just cover the essentials, you know?
Right.
But, you know, that's the goal, is to find units that have funding, you know. And I'm trying to work with like the single marine programs and MCCS and all that, and try to find events that I can do for them where they will actually pay, as well as, you know, finding companies and sponsors that see what we're doing. They go to our website and they're like, oh shit, look out. Like I said, I can't convince anybody. I can't be like, give us your money because this and this. It's like, no, man, like, look at us, see what we're doing. Go visit us online. Watch these videos, these post-show interviews with these Marines talking about these shows. Go look at these letters of recommendation on our website. Go see these what's happening. And if you look at that and you're like, eh, not for me, it's like, there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to convince you. I can't sell you this. You have to look at that and go, man, this is badass. I love what these guys are doing. I love their mission. I want to donate. I want to sponsor a show, you know. And I think it has happened. I'm actually extremely hopeful because of the amount of traction and exposure these podcasts have been doing. I think, you know, it's just, people just don't know about us. You know, there's so much noise in the world, you know, and I gotta get out here and tell the story.
Yeah. And that's, you know, part of what I love to be able to do with this show is expose people, you know, the listeners to different resources that are out there that they maybe just don't know exist. And for anybody who might be listening, who is, you know, they got a little weight in whatever unit that they're in, and they can make some sort of decisions like this and bring people like yourself in and your group. Like you said, go to the website and check it out. And I'll have the link to the website in the show notes, but, you know, go to the website, check it out, see if it's the type of thing that you want to, you know, expose your troops to. And I can't see why not. I mean, especially when you take cost off the table. Like if it's a free thing, you know, you guys are a nonprofit, and, you know, sure, figure out some sponsors. And I'm sure there's some folks who are from various companies that are, you know, basically have the same target audience that you have, you know, either military, veterans, first responders, those types of people. I'm sure there's some of those people who are listening to the show too, who would love to, you know, get in front of that type of a group. And so, you know, what's it to them to, you know, put some of their marketing budget to, you know, something like that, and you're going to go bring it directly to, you know, a couple hundred guys probably who are out in the middle of the field after sucking after a week out in the field, and they're either cold and wet or hot and sweaty and dirty and just ready for a good time. And I bet you that would land very well with them if they're seeing, you know, brought to you by, you know, whatever the company is. That would probably stick with them pretty well, because they're looking at it. It's like, that company is who brought this to us and allowed us to be able to have a good time after, you know, that sucky week that we just had or whatever. So yeah, that, as you were talking before, I was thinking to myself, like, sponsors seemed like the perfect solution to the money problem for you guys. And then you mentioned that. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just shut up right now. You seem like you already figured that out.
It's just finding the right ones. And, you know, I'd like, every week I'm emailing, I'm phone calling, hey, this is who we are, this is what we're doing, this is what we're looking for. And, you know, it's just about meeting the right company and the right people at the right time that are interested in that sort of thing. And that's why these podcasts are important, because, you know, people find us on here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. For the listeners who maybe are interested in, you know, having your tour come around to wherever they are, and or maybe even they're, you know, involved in a company that wants to sponsor what you guys are doing, they're listening to this and they really are, you know, excited about what you guys are doing, where can people go to find out more information and get more, you know, background on you guys, watch some of the videos and those types of things?
Yeah, and the best place to go is the website. It took me like a couple of years to like really get a good website that looks good and it works well. You know, I'm not good at that kind of stuff, and I'm kind of a one man band here as far as like the admin side, you know. But the website is rapidfirecomedytour.org. It's got all the info on there. It's got an about section, kind of tells a little bit of the story, how I got started with it. It's got letters of recommendation from all these units that loved us and have nothing but kind things to say. There's some videos on there of just like crowds going crazy, having a good time. And there's like post-show interviews of Marines talking after shows, being like, yo, man, this was incredible. This was my first time at a show. You guys rocked it. We had so much fun, man. This is amazing. So just check out the website. There's a contact section on there. It's got our info, and email is just info@rapidfirecomedytour.org. So please reach out, questions. If you have resources too, maybe you don't even want to book a show. You're just like, hey, you know what you should do, or you know who you should reach out to. I am all ears, man. I'll reach out to anybody and pitch it to anybody. I'm always looking for tips and resources on how to help this thing stay alive and to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like I said, the website will be in the show notes for the listeners. So make it nice and easy for you. Just click through and get access to that. But you know, if you're in charge of a unit and you're looking for something maybe unique or special to do with your unit after, you know, some event, something that you have coming up, yeah, definitely reach out. I'm sure you guys will be able to accommodate those types of things. And also, you know, if you are a company that wants to maybe support this in some sort of sponsorship arrangement or something, definitely reach out, because all those things come together and end up helping this group of people, the troops who are, you know, getting the benefit of this comedy tour. You know, that really is kind of like a huge thing, and that morale boost could be, you know, the difference between someone having a real crappy day, real crappy week or whatever, and being able to walk away saying, you know what, this wasn't all that bad. You know, this, you can walk away with a smile on your face. I think we're doing our jobs there. So definitely reach out. Again, the link will be there in the show notes. Any kind of closing message that you have before we wrap up here?
Closing message. I mean, for any, like, you know, guys that are still in that are about to get out, and you know, you're kind of worried about what's going to happen when you get out, just, you know, don't panic and try to find things that you like to do. You know, try to find community, because when you get out, you don't have your boys around you all the time. You don't want to just go hang out at bars and be drinking and shit. So try and find things to do with yourself that you enjoy doing, and don't be afraid to try some new things. You know, it's, the civilian world is as lonely, as weird, and it's harder in another way that no one tells you about. And I'm glad that I found stand-up comedy to kind of push me, you know, into a different type of work.
Sure.
And also, you know, go to a comedy club, support live comedy. Even if you don't come to one of our shows or book us, go support stand-up comedy. If you got a club near you, or you know there's a little independent show going on, get on Google and find one. I guarantee there's a comedy show going on near you. You might go to it, and a lot of the comics might suck. It might be a bad show, but I bet you there's one comic or maybe one joke that you're like, damn, that was good. And this, my life is, I'm addicted to this stuff. It's my whole life, so I can't convince people enough to go support the art form.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to, you know, several comedy shows over the years, and it's, you're right. Sometimes they kind of fall flat. The comedian maybe just having an off night or, you know, or whatever it is. But I would say 9 times out of 10 or even more, I go to the things. I walk away laughing, and I'm in a better mood. I'm you know, just had a good time, basically. And so, you know, go check them out, and great advice there. So, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show today. All the great work that you're doing and continuing to, in a way, serve and give back to the military community, I think is super awesome. So thank you for everything that you do, and, you know, best of luck to you in the future.
Well, dude, thank you so much for having me on, Scott. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.